I don't know all of you in this room, and certainly don't know who's watching on Facebook or YouTube. But if there's a stirring in your heart right now, even now as we speak, right now, before the altar call, before the preaching, we don't have to wait for the preaching to be over. We don't have to wait for it. Right here at this moment, at this time, is there a stirring in your heart? And God is saying to you, God, you sense Him speaking to you, and you're saying, I haven't really experienced that forgiveness, that freedom that there is in knowing you, that freedom, that all that heaviness I carried, I still seem to carry it. I can't seem to shake it off. But I got good news, my friend. When you decide to get serious with God, when you decide to walk away from that sin, you decide to walk away from the past and what you've gone through and what you've done, and you decide, I want to be clean. I want to experience that cleansing touch, that freedom. I want to experience a new life. 2020 is on. Physically, we have physically entered into another year, but I want to enter into this year spiritually, a new person. I'm still holding on to 2021. I still have some baggage from 2021 and from 2020 and 2019 and 2016. I'm still holding on to some baggage, and I just want to let that go. Let it go. God, help me. I need you to come and cleanse me and wash me, to free me up from this baggage that has weighed me down. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but this is not only a new year physically for you, but God is going to bring you into a new year spiritually. If that's you, and you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, or if you're in this room, I want you to express that to the Lord. I want you to declare, say, Lord, here I am. If you're in this room, just raise your hand. I'm not looking at you. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody. It's not about how many hands raised. There might be somebody here who needs that heaviness, who's been that experiencing that heaviness, and sin has weighed you down, but a new day has come. If that's you, raise your, if that's you on Facebook, I want you just to stand up where you are. I be with people, you might be alone, doesn't matter, just stand up before the Lord and say, God, I know that this is me. You're speaking to me this morning, Lord. I need you in my life. I've decided right now, I've decided I'm going to shake off the past, shake off my sin. I want to come clean, Lord. And if you decide to do that, and if you want to do that, you can be sure, for you will experience His freedom, that's His word. You will experience joy, that's His word. You'll be set free, that's His word. All you have to do is invite Him into your heart. Repent of your sin and say, God, I need you. I'm sorry. I need you. I've done wrong. So, Lord, I need you. Forgive me. There's freedom when you do that. There's peace. Father, I pray for every person in this room or watching on YouTube, on online, who is standing before you right now, that you would bless them beyond their own imagination. Brother, sister, repeat after me wherever you are, Jesus. These are not words, but words that come from my heart. I believe in you. I confess my sin before you. I thank you for the broken body. I thank you for the blood that was shed. I ask you to come into my heart and to forgive me my sin, this heaviness that has weighed me down for so long. Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me today. Heal my heart. For I believe. In Jesus' name. Amen. Not Buddha, not Krishna, not Mohammed, not the Reiki religion, not no name. There's no name. Not Reverend Moon. Oh, no, 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 no name. Not Jim Jones. No name, no name under heaven whereby man can be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. Can someone shout amen this morning? I see Helen standing back there. I guess the youth are dismissed right now. God bless the young people to go to your class. We want to welcome all of you. What a joy it is. Thank you, praise team. Powerful, powerful, powerful. We love it. We give God the praise. God is good. First Sunday in the month of January 2022. Can you imagine? 2022. Wow. Time has passed. Man, it's flying by. That's good. One day closer to revival. I love it. One day closer to revival. If you have your Bibles, we are in Exodus and we are in Leviticus. We're everywhere today. But we're going to begin in Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9, then 23 to 30. I have something I believe it's extremely insightful. A bit of a teaching slash preaching moment tonight. But we're looking at a series of messages I'm going to be preaching on throughout this month. Very similar themes on the importance of this year. What is it about 2022? I see something powerful. I want to challenge you and encourage you to go deeper with us in the year 2022, in this month, a very important month. And let them make me a sanctuary, God speaking, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, after the pattern, notice the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall he make it. Thou shalt also make a table of acacia wood, or shittim, or sittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half of the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay, now this is important, overlay it with pure, not just gold. Notice, pure gold. We'll talk about that. And make thereto a crown of gold round about it. And thou shalt make unto it a border of a hand breadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about it. And thou shalt make for it four rings of gold, and put the rings in the four corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. Gold, gold is everywhere. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and the covers thereof, and the bowls to cover with all of, there it is again, pure gold. Raise them up. Pure gold. Thou shalt set, now watch this now, here's going to be our focus for this morning. Set upon the table of shewbread, a table of bread, this shewbread which speaks of the presence of God. Shewbread is translated in the Hebrew, the presence or presence of God. Before me always, notice the word always, this bread had to be always before the Lord. Leviticus 24, 5 to 7, please. Leviticus 24, 5 to 7. And so this bread, we're talking about bread, and thou shalt take, notice, not just flour. Every word in the Bible is important. Every word. Thou shalt take fine flour. We just talked about pure gold. Now we're talking about fine flour, and bake 12, notice 12 cakes thereof, 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. And George, we won't have time to continue to read. Let's just stop right there. Now this morning, brothers and sisters, we are going to look at the tabernacle, and we have a picture here I want to show you in the Old Testament where true worship took place. We have a church today. In the Old Testament, there was a temple, but it first began right here. This was the place where people would worship. This was the worship place. This is where God would dwell. And I want you to notice these two elements, the outer courts. We have the brazen altar and the laver where the priest would wash his hands after the sacrifice. And here in the tent, oh, there was something special in the tent. That's where my title comes from. There was something hidden, something special. I've entitled this message, The Secret of the Hidden Room. Something happened in this hidden room, but there was a change. We see two elements outside of the tent, and now we see the rest of these elements inside the tent, and the most important one, inside the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I want you to notice these two elements outside. They were both made out of bronze. You notice the darker color? This is not gold. Both made out of bronze. But when you enter into the tent, all the vessels were made out of gold. Now, why is that? You see, friends, remember, everything has significance in the Bible. Every word has significance. Every metal, and the reason why it was bronze or silver or gold, has significance. Yeah, the flour had significance. Why was the flour fine flour? Everything has significance. Now, the reason why there was a bronze altar is because that's where the sacrifice took place. The priest would take the lamb, whatever the sacrifice was, and place it upon the brazen altar, and that's where the offering took place, where the sacrifice took place, where the blood was shed, where the body was broken, where the body was burned and consumed in its entirety. It was made out of bronze, a place of sacrifice, outside, notice, outside of the tent. Notice, watch, everything leads to Jesus. Everything has a spiritual meaning. The place, the location, the metal, the kinds, the type. Outside of tent, outside of Jerusalem, Jesus was crucified. The place of the brazen altar. And then the priest would come and wash his hands. Again, that place, that laver was made out of bronze. He washed his hands. There was a cleansing taking place. Both were made out of bronze. Bronze symbolizes judgment. And we see this in Revelation 1:15. Jesus, the Bible says, his eyes were as fire. And he says, the Bible says that there was bronze. He stepped, his feet stepped on bronze. Bronze is a picture of judgment. And we see that judgment is taking place outside of the tent. So here is where judgment takes place, where the sacrifice took place, where the burnt offering took place, and both metals were made out of bronze. And now, as we enter into the tent, is where we're going to focus on this morning. We notice a major change takes place. The vessels are not bronze. There's a reason. The vessels are now made out of gold. Not gold, but fine gold. You don't just have gold. Fine gold needs to be prepared. Fine flour needs to be prepared. And I want to show you what's going on in here. We see at least three vessels here. All of these vessels, the shewbread, the incense altar, the menorah, the candle, all were made out of fine gold. And as we enter into the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, of course, was made out of fine gold. And so I need to ask some questions this morning. And the first one is, what is it about gold? Fine gold. What is it about the bread? What is it about this bread that is so important? What is it about this gold? Gold, my friends, is a metal that is constantly maintained, constantly, despite fire, despite what it goes through, it will always maintain its composition. There's something about gold, especially when it goes through the fire. It might liquefy, but it's going to maintain what it is. Its value will always exceed the value of bronze. So when you talk about gold, this gold had to go through the fire. And that's important, my friends, because we're going to be looking at these things symbolically and how this affects you and me. So this gold became fine gold as it went through the fire. That is a picture of what God is doing in your life and in my life. Gold becomes a representative of God, if you will. As I mentioned, it liquefies, but it's being purified as it's going through the fire. It doesn't burn up. It just gets better and better and better. When you and I go through the fire, it's not so that we can be destroyed. It's so that we can get better and better, purer and purer. That's why Job said, when he said in Job 23, he said, though. In other words, it's going to happen. You can't escape it. First Peter tells us, why do you think something strange has come upon you when you go through your tribulations? What do you mean, something strange? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Though he test me, though I go through the fire, watch this now, I will trust him, because many people lose trust or lose confidence when they go through the fire. They begin to doubt and get discouraged. Job said, no. When I'm going to go through the fire, I'm going to trust him because I know something. What does he say? I'm going to come forth. I shall come forth pure as. That's the gold that Moses is talking about here. It's pure gold. Pure gold. Gold is an important element inside the tent. Inside the tent. And so what I want to do now is I want to focus in on this particular vessel, the shewbread. Can I see the shewbread, please? Just the shewbread. I want you to see what it looks like. Look at that. This is what was in the holy place. Notice the gold and notice the elements, the cups, the vase. Notice the bread. Man, it looks like, but wait a minute. Maybe it's just me, but doesn't that look like a communion table? That's right. I was thinking about, Lord, we're having communion today. Is there something I can bring to the people that will help us understand from an Old Testament perspective the significance of the communion? Well, I found one. Here it is. That looks like a communion table. It is, because it's exactly what communion represents. Well, stay with me. We're going deeper this morning. Notice now, we see here something very important, but before we get the significance of the bread, because I want to focus in on the bread, there's tremendous life lessons about the bread, but before we get into the significance of the bread, I want to focus in on the table. I want you to see this table. This table becomes, so there's three things we're looking at this morning. The gold, fine gold. We're going to be looking at the bread, fine flour. That's how you make bread, this bread. And then I want you to notice the table. The table becomes very, very important. As I mentioned, everything has significance. There's a reason why we have the showbread. There's a reason why there was a tent. There's a reason why there was the menorah, the candlestick. There was a reason why there's the ark. All of this has spiritual significance. And I can tell you, friends, it all leads to Jesus. Everything. The table had to be made. The table had to be made. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Of course. Oh, no, friends, there's a lot of things that are involved in order for the table to be made. Just like the bread had to be made. This table was a very special table made out of special wood. That's right. Special wood. You see, that's what some people don't understand. When you're invited for dinner and somebody spreads a table, you've heard that term, they spread a table for you. You come and you eat. But many of us don't understand what it took to prepare that table. That's why some people don't like to have people coming over for dinner, because there's a lot of preparation. It takes time to spread a table. And some people don't realize that. You know, when I was first in ministry, God bless, I was pastoring an Italian church after I finished with Trinity, which was my first church in Montreal. But I started to learn a lot about spreading a table. You know, these Italian beautiful people, they would invite me for dinner. My wife and I, we would go for lunch every Sunday to somebody's home. And during the week, they'd call me. They're just so hospitable. We would be at somebody's home. And, you know, I kind of took for granted, you know, all these invitations. I never understood what it meant to prepare a table until I started to realize what Nadia went through when we started having guests coming over for dinner. the amount of time this lady, this one, spends to for a dinner. She'll start 2 days before. She'll, whatever it takes. And I realize the time it takes to spread a table. So I want to thank all of you who've invited us for dinner right now. Thank you very much. I appreciate, I know the time it took. It takes time to prepare a table. Not only physically, oh, but might I say especially spiritually. You see, God is preparing a table in you. Oh, stay with me. We're going places this morning. David said, "Thou preparest a table before my enemy." You're preparing a table. It needed to be constructed. This table had special wood. Exodus 25, 23, 24 tells us it comes from the Sittim or Shittim wood, which is really the acacia wood. It's the same wood used by Noah, where God instructed Noah to build the ark. God gave Noah every specific detail, and he followed it for a purpose. Every details, all of them, everything has significance. Everything has purpose. And so all the carpenters got together. They got involved and they were blessed. The Bible says that God anointed the carpenters. There's an anointing when you do things for God. God anointed the carpenters and they sanded and they filed and they shaped and they were carving, preparing this table. Again, a picture of what God does for us. He carves. He sands. He cuts. He strips. But he's preparing a table. He's preparing you. He's preparing me. And so, this wood was very important, very specific. This wood had to be durable, yet it had to be pliable. Is there a possibility to find wood that is strong and yet supple enough, yet it can be somehow shaped properly in a certain way? And yes, there is. There was this wood called the acacia wood. It was durable because it grew in dry desert places. It was strong. It grew in a place where there wasn't much moisture. It was durable, yes, yet it was also pliable. Pliable, it could be shaped. It's just like what God is doing. He is the potter and we are the clay. And God is preparing a table through you and me. And now this table, as the carpenters got together to make this table with a specific wood that God has told them and instructed them, now they are instructed to take this piece of wood that's been formed by these specially anointed carpenters. God has anointed carpenters throughout his kingdom. Now he tells them, I want you to overlay this table with gold. And not just any gold, but this gold needs to be fine gold. This gold needs to be refined. It's got to go through the fire, not once, not twice, but for as long as it takes. Fine gold, pure gold. I want you to overlay it. And this is so powerful, my friend. You see, we need to understand this covenant, watch this now, this covenant, we're going to go deeper, between the wood and the gold. There is now some kind of amalgamation, some kind of marrying. Yeah, the gold and the wood now are going to come together. The gold had to be overlaid on the wood. The wood and the gold. There's something very important about the wood. The wood is, however, a perishable substance. The wood burns in fire. And so, though there's a problem there, but you see, gold, on the other hand, is not perishable. Only the gold gets better when it goes through the fire. And so what we see here is a perishable substance amalgamating with a non-perishable, an, if you will, an eternal substance. Friends, I don't know, but I see something pretty powerful here. The wood represents humanity. Stay with me. And the gold represents divinity. You see, what you see here is you see this wood, which is going through a process is now covered by gold. And so what we see here is the table of humanity coming together with the table of divinity. Are you with me? The table of humanity, that's a picture of you and me, and coming together with the table of divinity. Oh my, but I see something even further. I see Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the God-man. He is the Theoanthropos. I see Jesus, the God-man. I see wood and gold coming together. Jesus was as much God as he was man. And I see it. I see exactly what John, the one who proclaimed Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's why I said, I see him in John chapter 1, verses 1. Then in verse 14, we see something powerful. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became, he's speaking about Jesus. Here we see wood and gold coming together. Wood, a natural, perishable, and gold does not perish. We see God and man coming together for a purpose. Oh, my friends, don't you see it? You see, the whole tabernacle is all a picture of Jesus, and what he did and what he's doing is something so powerful that it affects you and me. Something happens in our lives as a result of this. And so in our text, we see the showbread, the table of the showbread, which in the original means God's presence. That's where God's presence is seen, just as it was seen in the Ark of the Covenant, or in a different element, but it speaks of his presence. And we see, can you show me the picture, George? We see on the table of showbread these 12 loaves of bread divided into two sections, 6 and 6. Representing what? 6 and 6 equals 12. Represents the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, if you haven't gone to Israel, you should go at least once before you leave this great planet of ours. Rick is still gleaming from Israel. Elaine too. We had some incredible times visiting Israel. And something that is so powerful is seen here in the Old Testament that helps us understand really the power we see in Christ. There's so much to understand. In our text, we see this 12 loaves of bread representing the tribes. Now, I want you to notice God gave specific details, as we have read earlier, about how the table was to be constructed, just as it was with Noah, how God told Noah how to construct the ark. He gives specific details about the table of showbread. Everything has significance, from the littlest detail to the greatest of detail. All the artifacts, the plates, the cups, the holes on the sides, everything has meanings. I wish I had time to explain each particular artifact and all of the intricacies that you see, but I don't have time for that. The whole point is this, friends. Are you ready for this? This showbread is a picture of the communion table. It's a picture of what Jesus has done for us. And we're going to see this as we continue. You see, friends, I want you to notice God is giving us something that's not new. Look, today we have the New Testament, but really, even though it's the New Testament, I said this earlier, it's not really new. What it is, it's being seen differently. It's being unveiled. You ever see a painter? He's just finished his masterpiece. Maybe you're at the museum. I've seen this on TV. So, and you see a white canvas covering, maybe a cloth, some tapestry. It's covering the painting, and the great showing is taking place. This is the day that the painter will reveal his new masterpiece, and he removes the canvas covering. He removes the blanket, if you will, and there is the painting. See, the painting was only there. It was there all the time. It just was concealed. It was covered with this blanket. This is what the book of Revelation means. It's the Greek word apocalypse, which means an unveiling of truth that has always been there. It's not a new truth. It's an unveiling. The apocalypse, the book of Revelation, is an unveiling. That's the Greek word of what is already known and already established. It's not new. There's nothing new under the sun. The question is not whether it's new or not, is whether you've seen it or not. Whether you understand it or not, unveiling, unveiling, unveiling. It was always there. That's why the Apostle Paul prays in Ephesians 1:17, I believe it is. He says, oh, he's praying for the church of Ephesus. Oh, God, I'm praying that they would see and understand. You would open their eyes. He uses that word, open their eyes that they might see. He's talking to the church. There are people in the church that still don't see everything. Well, you might think you see everything. But God needs to reveal it. As I've said over and over again, truth, it's hard to explain God. Have you ever tried to? But you see, God can only be revealed. Revelation. An unveiling. It's also what is mentioned in Ephesians 6, I believe it's verse 17. Paul is speaking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Greek word, the word of God, is the word the rhema, which means a revelation, where the revelatory word, in other words, in the original. And what that means is you have the Logos word. This church is named under Logos. This is the word that's written. You got the written word, but you can read the written word and not understand a word because it's not revealed. It's the revelatory word. Paul's praying in Ephesians, I'm coming to you with the what has been revealed, what I know is true. Do you know the word of God is true? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. For I know whom I have believed in. You can be in church for 25 years and still not have a revelation. My God, a revelation. Can I go deeper this morning? You see, friends, there's something about the bread that is not new. Many of us think the communion or taking the bread is a new thing. No, it's not. Not at all. Jesus, watch this now, was born where? Micah chapter 5 verse 2, George, if you want to get it for me, I didn't give it to you earlier. There's a prophecy hundreds of years before the birth of Christ that the prophet prophesied exactly where Jesus would be born. Yes, this was a picture of who he is and what he was going to do. And he was born in Bethlehem of Ephrathah, which was in the southern part. Yes, you see, back in the day, there were two Bethlehems, one to the north and one to the south. And this prophet prophesied that Jesus would be born in the southern part in Bethlehem, and the interpretation of Bethlehem in the Hebrew is the house of bread. The house of bread. Important we understand that. So Jesus is born in the house of bread because he is bread. He is the true bread. And when you look at the Ark of the Covenant, we don't have time to get into that this morning, but the Ark of the Covenant had something incredible within its doors. There was three items, three elements within the Ark. There was, number one, there was the Ten Commandments. We know that's the Word of God. Number two, there was what? There was Aaron's rod that was budded, and so the supernatural was there before. Normally, when a rod has no roots, it dies. If a tree has no roots, it dies. A plant, it dies. But this did not die. The buds were still there, and it was in full appearance, and it was blooming. It was alive. This is a picture of the Spirit and the supernatural. And number three, inside the Ark of the Covenant, there was manna bread, the living bread. This is a picture of Jesus. picture of Jesus. And you remember in John chapter 6, of course, people are following Jesus, and Jesus turns to them. He says, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. Yes, but I am the true bread. It's the Greek word ego ime, ego ime, I am. It is the same interpretation of what God said to Moses when he said to Moses, I know you're worried about who sent me. Listen, Moses, you tell him, I am that I. It's the same word that Jesus uses. Ego ime, I am the bread. I am the light. I am the door. I am what you need. I am who I am. The bread is not new. The bread has always been there. I am your provision. I am your provision. You see, the provision of God was so strong and so powerful that when the children of Israel, they went through the wilderness, they ate this manna, and they stood, and God sustained them through this manna. Their provision was met through this manna. It was so powerful and so strong, God's provision. 40 years, they're walking around. They didn't get a new dress. 40 years, they didn't have to buy a new suit, if you will. 40 years, nothing, but they didn't even get new shoes. Their soles didn't wear out. Can you imagine that? And I know this because in Deuteronomy 29 verse 5, the Bible says, I led you through the wilderness and even your soles, your shoes did not wear out. Can you imagine having shoes for 40 years? You're walking in the wilderness. My goodness, I go through 5 pairs of running shoes each year just from running alone. Do you know? 40 years. 40 years, the same shoes. Now, I don't know about what happens to a foot that's in a shoe for 40 years in that heat. That's another sermon, and I won't go there. Maybe God made provision for that. I'm not sure. But I know this. 40 years, the soles of their feet, the shoes did not in any way decay. Now, just think about how crazy that is. That's provision, my friend. He provided for their clothes. He provided for their food, their shelter. This is the kind of God we serve. He provides. He guides. He leads. My friends, I've got to pause. I've got to ask, is there someone here in this room where God is sustaining you? Is there anybody in this house that you can shout out? I may have not been in the wilderness physically for 40 years, but I can shout out, he's been sustaining me. That's why David said in Psalm 18, oh, I'm drowning, Lord, but that God reached down, it says, his hand, and he kept me from drowning. Has anybody ever been kept from drowning? You should have drowned, but he rescued you. You should have died, but he sustained you. You should have lost your, but somehow God, he came through. He is your defender, Psalm 35. He pleads your cause, Psalm 35. My God, God will keep you in, watch this now, your personal wilderness, whatever it is. And guess what? We're in a wilderness right now. If God sustained Israel with all hell breaking loose, drought, famine, Egyptians coming to kill them, serpents, scorpions, no water, somehow water came from a rock. You don't think he can take care of you in your wilderness? My God. Yes, my friends, he'll make a way. He'll make a clear way, because I've seen it. He's El Elyon. He's the Most High. There's nobody higher than him. He's your El Shaddai. He is more than enough. Your Jehovah Nissi. He's my banner. He's my victory shout. He's my Tzitkadu and my Kadesh. He's my righteousness and my sanctifier. He's my Roi. He's my shepherd who leads me on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's my all and all. He's my bread. He's my provider. That's who he is. That's what Jesus is saying. He is your bread. He is your provider. And he will keep you in your time of pain. He will keep you in your wilderness. You will look back one day and you will shout with David in Psalm 109, "This is the hand of the Lord," that they might see that this is the hand of the Lord. He has sustained me. Oh, that he wanted people to know it was by God's hand, not my hand, not Prime Minister Trudeau's hand, not the government's hand, not the vaccine's hand. It is by my hand, God said. My hand. My hand. That I sustained you when my heart is overwhelmed within me. Lead me to that rock. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Yes, he kept my job intact. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He kept my car running when I had no gas to buy. But he kept me going. He kept me going. I should have been fired and released, but he kept me going. He delivered me in my wilderness. He delivered me in my trouble. He sustained me in my pain. Oh, is there anyone in this house who can say, yes, God has sustained me in my pain? Is there anybody on Facebook who can say, yes, God has provided for me when everything else looked dark and grim? God made a way. Somehow he brought water out of a rock. My God. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he healed me, how he delivered me, how he sustained me, makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've got to praise him, my friends, because he held my mind together. All of last year when people were going nuts, somehow God held me together. Who am I speaking to? Yes, 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 yes. God sustained me. I'm able to stand and I'm able to walk on Christ, the solid rock. Now, I may not look like it right now. I may not look like I've been through much. I may not look like it because, you know, I might look pretty good. I'll tell you why I look pretty good. It's because God sustained me. I look, and not because I put on makeup this morning, not because I had a good night's sleep. It's because God sustained me through it all. God sustained me through it all. Yeah, 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 yeah. I should have died, but God sustained me. I should have been in that hospital, but God sustained me. Even if I was in ICU, God sustained me anyways. So I'm going to praise him anyways. I'm going to praise him. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Though he slay me, yet I'm coming forth pure as gold. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Yes, because he kept me. Yes, he kept me from falling, Jude chapter 1. Yeah, 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 yes. Psalm 121. Yeah, he preserved my going and my coming back. That's right, he preserved me going. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he preserved me when I went back. That's right, right. Because he's my provider. He's my strength. He's my rock. He's going to take care of me. Oh my God, who am I speaking to this morning? And if I told you about my wilderness, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. But just look at me. Look at you. He sustained you. You're here this morning. You're here through a storm. You can shout amen. All because he's your provider. Now watch this, brothers and sisters. We're going deeper this morning. Watch this. Very, very important. This bread. This bread, so important. This table, so important. The gold, so important. This bread, so important. It needed to be presented, the Bible says, before the Lord. This bread, when it was finished, was now presented on display. Notice the display. But the bread could never be on display unless it went through something. There was a process. And by the way, brothers and sisters, before I forget, I almost forgot earlier, God is in the process business big time. We don't like process, by the way, and I've shared this before, you know that. We like the product. We want to see the finished work, don't we? Don't bother me with the details. Just give me the finished work. Give me the product. But God is not concerned so much about the product. He knows he's concerned about how you get there. He's concerned about the process. And you know, it's all about the process. Because without the process, you'll never get there. You can't bypass the process. I think I said it on Friday. We want the recital, we don't care about the rehearsal. You can't have a recital without a rehearsal. I've heard preachers tell me, you know, Pastor, I'm not going to prepare for Sunday. Okay? No problem. I'm not going to spend all that. I've got no time. I'm just going to open wide my mouth and let God speak through me. Has anybody ever heard anything like that before? Do you know how out of context that is? Jesus, when he said that, the Holy Spirit will remind you of things at that hour. That is speaking about when you're in a situation. You're in a situation. You might be going through a hard time. There might be a situation where you're on the spot and you haven't prepared much. You haven't, but you just open your, and God's going to speak right through you in that moment where you need it. God will speak. He's not talking about what we're talking about today. Preparing. To prepare a table takes time. And if you are at God's table, it's going to take time. And so as you are being prepared, you also must be prepared. Listen, friends, there's no shortcuts with God. I know we want shortcuts. I know the driveway, you know, philosophy is very important. It's everywhere. Every restaurant seems to have a driveway service. You know that? Quicker service, because we don't want to wait. You know, I understand that. It's the sign of our times, and I understand. When I was a kid, there was no drive-thru. You had to wait. But there's a drive-thru. And, you know, McDonald's, we've talked about McDonald's, haven't we? The McDonald's mindset of the quick, you know, the McMeals, and McMilkshake, whatever you want to call it, McCoffees, instant, quick drive-thrus, get it, go home, make this, make that, the quick McBlessings, the quick McPrayer meetings, the quick services. And by the way, it's true, you got to McServices. The quick anything that will stop us from waiting and preparing and ready and marinating. We don't like a marinating way. Just give it to me now. God taught me that when I first got saved. I was praying for a wife. I was just 20 years old, 19. Realized I can't live like I used to. I better get married. I got to get married. I prayed and I prayed. Nothing. For years. Years. Nobody. Got tough. I got a word for somebody out there. I prayed for years. Got tougher. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. But after number 7, 8 years, I see a woman coming down the staircase in the church I was pastoring. Never seen before. And my 8 years of prayers. Boom. Good things come to those who wait. Can someone shout amen this morning? God tells you to wait. I'm doing some work, some marinating, and it doesn't come overnight. I'm working in your life. The bread needed to be made. There was something about the bread. It was presented before the Lord. And in order to make this bread, I'm coming to a close, so just wait. Just wait. God said, I want to use a certain kind of flour. I don't want you to go to Walmart or to go to Sobeys and buy some regular flour. We're not interested in regular. I want you to get some fine flour. No. What is it about fine flour? What's the difference between fine flour? Well, there's a difference also with the coffee. You got fine coffee and regular coffee. You see, it's all in the grinding. It's all in the grinding. It's all in the pulverizing. It's all in the shaking. It's all in the breaking. Fine flour has to be made. It had to be broken down over and over again. We see this in Leviticus 24, verse 5. There's something about the flour. There's something about the bread. There's something about the table. There's something about the gold. And here we are. The flour had to be pulverized, ground it down to the smallest of grains. And the flavor, there's, you see, that's where the flavor comes. Pulverized, totally crushed, fine as flour. You pick it, it's like, my goodness, it's so fine. You don't even, it's hard to even imagine how, what, it's so soft. It's incredible, fine flour. You see, God is in the breaking process, the refining process. He does that with everything, with your life. He does that with wine. He takes the grapes, and what does he do? The grapes are smashed, crushed, but it's in the crushing of the grapes that you get the wine. He takes the olive plant, those olives, olives, and he crushes the olives. And what do you get? Oil. It's in the crushing. And the more you crush, the finer it gets. If you've ever been praying, God, use me, and you mean it, you think it's just a, okay, here I am, lady. Get ready to be pulverized, grinded. Are you with me? And the more you are pulverized and broken, the finer you get. What a paradox. But our flesh says, I don't want it. If you don't want it, you can never be used of God. There'll be too much of the flesh in your life. I said it on Friday. We need more oil. Oily preachers. Oily Sunday school teachers. Oily board members. Oily musicians. Not just singers. Not just those that play. Oily singers. Oily believers. My. Bread had to be broken down because there's no shortcuts, because the bread represented the 12 tribes of Israel. This bread is a picture of the people then, but also of the people today, you and me. God is saying, I will make bread out of your life. I'm working in your life. So important. So you see, when Jesus said, I am the light, you can become little lights to represent Christ. When Jesus said, I am the door, you become little doors, open up to bring others to Christ. So when Jesus said, Ego ime, the bread, Ego ime, the door, Ego ime, the light, then if you've come to Christ, you become a little light. You become a little, you're not the door, he's the door, you're a light. And when he said, I am the bread, guess what? You become bread too, to this lost, dark world. This world that's hungry for truth. Who's going to bring them the truth? You and me, bread to this world. Our lives through you and me today, my friends. Unfortunately, we don't want to go through that finding process. We want it quickly. And today, you know what? I know this. Today, you can go online and you can become a pastor in 30 seconds. Wow. Yeah, you apply online for a pastor certification of whatever. I don't know. I've been told this, and I know this to be true. Joshua, didn't you tell me this? Did you go online and you can get your papers? They're fabricated, but they're papers. Why would a pastor want fabricated papers to be a pastor? You see, he hasn't gone through the fining process. And so you can get papers online. And you become a pastor overnight. You ever thought of that, Rick? You sure? Okay, in case you want to know, I can give you the... No, I'm just kidding. When I was in Ghana preaching, I encountered a lot of these so-called ministers everywhere I went. Oh, how are you, brother? Oh, yes, pastor. I want to present to you pastor. Oh, wonderful. After one or two, that's nice. But then everybody I met was a pastor. I'm not kidding you. If has anybody been to Ghana? You know what I'm talking about. Is there anybody from Ghana here? My Joe, I'm just making a point. Anybody from, nobody? It's amazing. Everybody you meet, I'm a pastor. And everywhere you go, oh, there is St. Peter's Cafe, Elijah's Cleaning Service, St. Jude's Market. Everywhere you see religious names, biblical names, everybody's a pastor. What's going on here? And then when you get to know them, they're the furthest from a pastor that you'd want to know. They haven't gone through the fire. Anybody can be a singer. Anybody can be a dancer. Anybody can be a preacher. But have you gone through the fire? God says, in order to get on the table, my table, the bread must be made out of fine flour. Yeah. Where God is getting ready to make some bread in your life. When he does that, he's going to crush you. My friends, he will be shadowing you with his love and his, he'll be refining you. Remember, he's the potter, you're the clay. He'll be breaking down your pride, your stubbornness. You may not think you have it, but God knows. Yeah, he'll be breaking down some of those fleshly things that you may not even see. Sometimes we don't see our own folly. We're great in pointing our fingers at everybody else, but we don't see ourselves at times. He's breaking down that part of your life. Maybe some stubbornness, some bitterness, some kind of lust or whatever, only God knows. Jealousy, I don't know, but he's doing it to bless you. He breaks you to bless you, and there's a reason, there's a purpose for this. I got to go into gear number 5. Are you ready? Here's the reason. Are you with me? I'm going to give you the conclusion. Here's the reason why he's breaking you down. Here's the reason why he's called you to be bread also. I'm going to tell you why. It's found in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We all know the story. The beginning, Paul heard of a horrible act that was taking place in the Corinthian church. He said, I heard of these incredible, even Gentiles don't do them, he said. He said, this man was having an affair with his father's wife. In the church! And Paul instructs, I don't have time to get into it. He instructs what needed to be done, that he needed to repent. He finally repented. I wish I had more time to talk about it. He finally repented. And what happened as he repented, he was turned around. He asked the brethren to show mercy and to deal with this problem right away. Fast forward to Galatians chapter 6. What am I talking about? What is the purpose of fine bread? How do I know I've got fine flour in my life? How do I know that I am what God has called me to be? How do I know that? Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 and 3. George, you have it for me. Another story. God here, Paul speaking to the Galatians, and he's telling them something. He's telling them, if you see, watch this now, here we go. Brethren, if a man be notice the word overtaken. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of what? Of meekness, considering. What? Considering yourself, because, hey, you might do the same thing. What? Did you hear? Spirit of meekness. Better consider yourself, because you, if you're not careful, you're going to do the same thing, Mr. Spiritual. So please be careful, Paul says. Be careful how you approach that situation. The point is, you're not supposed to put your foot on somebody's neck. How dare you? No. That's the spirit of the flesh. The spirit of self-righteousness. How can you do that? Notice verse 1, lest you be tempted and overtaken. Sometimes we don't see our own pride and self-righteousness. If we're not careful, the things we judge others with, we do the very same things. Well, I know that's for somebody. The point is, you are spiritual. But what does it mean to be spiritual? We just talked about it. You have gone through the fire. You who've become fine flour. You who've been through God's oven and put you on slow bake. Don't ever bake something too quickly. You'll regret it. Slow bake. That's how you become spiritual. In the furnace, God is melting away those alloys of pride and arrogance and self-righteousness. It's in that furnace that you melts away those things of the flesh. That's why our trials should be our best friends, not our worst enemies. Oh my. You who are spiritual. I don't know how you can be so judgmental and self-righteous and spiritual at the same time. Have you forgotten where you come from, my friend? This is why some of us still are in that process. Are you with me? Some more grinding needs to take place. Some more pulverizing needs to take place. You see, the flour isn't fine yet. So the flour isn't, you might think it's fine, but the flour isn't fine yet. That's right. The flour. You see, you don't determine whether the flour is fine. God does. I don't know who this is for. But some of you are still so self-righteous and judgmental, you're still carrying that heaviness of bitterness and jealousy in your own life. And my friends, that's a tough place to be in when you want to be used by God. But when God gets finished working in you, my friend, my God, the year 2022 is before us. I don't know what's happened in my 2021, in my past, but Lord, in the year 2022, I want to come forth with fine flour in my life. Fine flour. Listen, when that happens in your life, you'll show mercy where there's be hard to show mercy in the past. You'll be able to show grace and forgiveness where you weren't able to show grace and forgiveness in the past. Well, how do I know it? The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, after ye have suffered a while, after you've been in the dungeon, after you've been in the furnace, after you've been in God's oven, after you've gone through the grinding and the shaking, after that process, after he will what? He will establish you, make you mature, perfect. Wow! Fine flour! My God. That's what I want, Lord. I told you I've got messages this year. This is what I want in my life for 2022. How about you? My friends, I can hear God saying, God has been grinding you. Grinding some of you to fine flour. That's why you've gone through what you've gone through. But here's the reason. Are you ready? Here's la crema la creme. Here's the reason. Here's the reason why. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here it is. That many will come and eat from your table. God, this is so good. From God's table to your table. Present your table to the world so they can partake of the bread, partake of your bread. You see, friends, that's what's needed today more than anything else. Not better this and better politics and better education and better bread. Oh my, I don't know. Better bread? Because God's called me to be the light of this world. God's called me to be the bread of this world. He's called me to be and my bread better have fine flour in it, because that's what he's called me to do. Many will come and eat from the table of your wisdom, the table of your experience. God is going to draw people to that table. Your table. He couldn't draw before because you weren't ready. He couldn't draw that person to you before because you weren't ready. He couldn't bring you to that place you wanted to be because you weren't ready. Or maybe you thought you were ready, but you weren't ready. But now God, in his wisdom and his providence, he sees, and he's going to draw people to your table. You're going to present them some bread. Are you hungry? Here's the bread. Are you thirsty? Here's some water. Here it is. This is what you've been looking for. You're going to be bread to a starving world, because the world is starving for truth. The world is starving for what is real. And guess what? When God gets finished with you and your bread, and as fine as it is, when they take a part of bread, of your bread, they're going to say, yes! Whom the Son sets free. You'll be on display. George, can I see that table one more time, and we close with this scripture? Look, watch the table. This table is on display. Gold, the bread. Now, I want you to see your calling, what my calling is, and what my goal and desire for 2022. This is my goal and my desire for the year 2022. I pray and trust it's your goal. George, give me Titus 2:10, please. Titus 2:10, please. Are you ready? Titus chapter 2, verse 10. What does the Bible say? Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, which is loyalty, that ye may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The word adorn, you know what it means? Are you ready? The word cosmeo, which means the world, it actually means cosmetics. Cosmetics in the Greek. To adorn. In other words, that you may have spiritual cosmetics, makeup, if you will, that the doctrine of God, in other words, that what cosmetics are supposed to do, which was to make you more attractive, is that what I understand? Cosmetics, true? Okay. All the women are saying, what are you talking about? I don't know. You and what this scripture is saying, watch this now, really is to put you on display, to make you attractive. God is saying, you've gone through all that pain, so that you can be on display before a starving world and give them some bread. This is good stuff. It's time to give people some bread, especially now, more than ever before. Will you stand with me? Is upon us. I have one desire for this year that does not stop beating deep within my spirit. Of course, that is revival. But if I have a second desire, it's this one. I want to be bread to this world. I want to make a difference in people's lives. I want God to use me. People need the truth. They need to see Christ on display in somebody. We all have invisible pulpits that we carry wherever we go, because we're all called to be on display, to touch people's lives at work, at school, at home. But unless my flower is fine, are now in 2022. If it is your desire to be fine bread into this world, I want you to remain standing. I want you to stay right where you are. I don't want you to leave. I don't. If you have to leave, God bless you. I can't force you, but I want you to stay. Those on Facebook, don't go anywhere. Don't shut up, close it, and you continue, you wait. You just wait, Mr. Facebook. Stay there. Because God isn't finished with you yet. And we're going to pray. We're going to wait on God. And we're going to cry out this morning. Because our fine flour needs to be refined a little bit more, some of us. And if you really want to be used of God, this is the moment. You make that decision. Because I believe God has great things for us. I do. For this church. But this church is made out of individuals. It's not a building. And we all have a part in this. And God is making fine flour in all of us. Is that your goal, your desire? We're going to sing a chorus and we're going to pray. We want to worship the Lord.